I can remember my mother saying, because I was making so much money doing what I was doing, and I ended up losing everything. And not one time did my wife ever complain about anything. And I remember my mom saying, "Say if I were in your position, I'd blow my brains out," because she was used to seeing me so high. But I'd gotten so low because I chose God.
Life is more than random events that happen to us from one day to the next. We're caught up in a story, one that God has been writing from the beginning of time. Stories of darkness and light, brokenness and redemption. They show us who He is and how much He loves us. They're the stories of our lives, and if we let Him, He'll use them for His glory.
I started playing bass back in 1978. I got out of the military. I was coming out of basic training, and I went home and I used to listen to guys like Stanley Clark, Larry Graham, Bootsy Collins, Louis Johnson, that kind of style. Kind of like what Victor Wooten's doing now. I was doing that back early when I first started playing. Got on the road, learned I could make money doing that. Percy Sledge would use my band. We would open up acts like Casey and Sunshine Band. There's Reba McEntire, Ronnie Millsap, Clarence Carter. I mean, Temptations. I mean, just all kind of groups, man. Just one particular time, what really started drawing me to the Lord was we were coming from Memphis, and one of my vehicles broke down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So we pull over in AutoZone, but doing what musicians do that time of morning. I mean, the drugs and stuff like that. But what really got my attention this particular time, this little lady pulls up in a little red car with a bunch of kids in it. So we're sitting up, getting high, must admit it. And she walks up to the van and she looks at everybody and she points at me and she said, God told me to tell you, it's time for you to stop running. It's time for you to come home. And so I look at her, man, I'm okay. I roll up the window, didn't want to hear that kind of stuff. So kind of shoot her off and, you know, another 15, 20 minutes later, this pickup truck rolls into the same parking lot. This time it was a white guy, and he got out of his truck and he walked up to me just like the lady did, looked at us and said, "Hey, I just want to tell you, God said he's tired of you running. It's time for you to come home." I mean, this was happening everywhere I would go. Okay, I'm playing all these gigs. I go back to Mobile. I'm going to my P.O. box to pick up some contracts. And I'm listening. Never forget the preacher's name. His name was Ross. And he said, "This is for that person who keeps running from God." He said, "You know how you got a child and you keep popping him on his hand and he's being obedient?" He said, "But don't let God take you behind that woodshed." And from that point on, it started changing me. Started giving more attention to the Lord. I would go on gigs, still playing, but instead of going getting high all this after the gigs, I would go to the room and I would read the Bible after the show, and it just escalated from there. It started pulling me in. And what was really crazy, I did this for months, weeks, something like that. But my wife, we just had our first child, and she was sick, and our daughter was sick. And she said, "I need you to take care of Michaela." That was our daughter's name. And I said, "No problem." I couldn't take care of my daughter at that point. I wanted to get up, left out of the room, went and got some more drugs, came back up, and I started sitting on the side of the bed. And my wife and daughter were laying there sick. And man, all of a sudden, my hands just went up and I just started praying, asking Jesus to take all this away, the drugs, the alcohol, the gambling. But at that point, man, God just took all the desires from that road away from me. Then when I picked up my musicians, we were playing in New Orleans somewhere. And then they just kept telling me there was something wrong with me. I said, "Man, you're just so different." Say, even when you're on stage. And I just told them, man, I got saved. I gave my life to God. And at that point, I started trying to sell my business and wanted to get out of that scenery, man. And I always use this kind of illustration. Here I am over here in the world, and right behind me, I've lost everything, and it's God over here. But even though I'm getting away from the world and lost everything, I'm closer to God over here. But, and from then on, man, my wife was just such and encouragement. I mean, that's used that Proverbs 31, that virtuous woman. And I can remember, man, times when, like, all the utilities about to get cut off, and I was managing a band called the Tip Tops. And the manager at that time said, man, we need a bass player to go to Dallas. I think we were meant for Reba McEntire. And he said, what do you charge, man? I said, man, I need about $2,500 to do the show because I wanted to pay my bills. Told him to pick me up the next morning. I hung up the phone. My wife was sitting over there, man. She was just weeping. She said, you promised God that you wouldn't go back out on that road. And I said, but I need that money. She said, God's going to take care of us. And, man, I mean, every time I was down, she jumped in there. I always have temptations. I had to get rid of all my videos and stuff like that of my band. Anything that had my band's name on anywhere, I burned that. When I burned that, it released me from trying to get back out there because I would always get offers to go back out there. But now it's all for God. I play for Him. Ever since I've gotten saved, I got saved back in 1998, and I never charged a church any gospel function or anything. I just want to give that gift back to the Lord. That's kind of my ministry. I love playing, but it's not me. I want people to see me up there playing, but I want to duck and let them see that that's a gift that God has given me. It's not Michael Johnson. Without him, I couldn't do anything.